Welcome to Art Heroes with JPH, where we believe art heals, connects, and galvanizes. I'm your host, Joanna Patrice Haggerty. On this show, I am honored to have some of the nation's most innovative leaders, artists, and creative business owners to share their unique and valuable experiences, processes, practical tips, and inspirations. Today with me is Ashley Lieb, who is the owner of Honey Creek Pottery. She finds her truth, spirit, and therapy within the use and formation of clay. Working with clay, children, and adults alike to share the therapeutic and creative benefits of clay is a life calling of Ashley's. She has been professionally working with this medium for the last 8 years in Asheville. Ashley holds a BA in art and double minors in health and wellness and psychology from the University of North Carolina, Asheville. She focused on therapeutic art in all areas. She has been teaching pottery for the last 12 years in the Western North Carolina area. Ashley now focuses on wholesale production work, custom work, and teaching private classes out of her studio. I brought Ashley on to talk about all things art and economics, but first, Ashley, welcome back to my show.
Thanks for having me back. It's nice to be back in the beginning of the year, and I think we did this about the same time last year, if not a little bit sooner.
I think actually you've been like a reoccurring person, and we originally had you scheduled for December, but you were sick. People might hear a little bit of the remnants of that today. So what? But what I love is we're going to kind of talk about this from the flip side. We typically talk about the holiday markets that are coming up. Well, you just finished those. So I think it'll be really fun to do it from this stage in the new year.
Yes. Fresh perspective for 2023.
Well, maybe before we kind of dive into, you know, what the end of 2022 looked like for you, is there any big highlights, like personally, professionally, before we get there? I mean, I think there was some big stuff that had gone on for you in 2022. So anything you want to highlight before we dive into some of the last bits of the year?
Yes, I actually had, first off, I should state that with my work, it's based a lot off of music art as well as like sustainable artwork. Yeah. And I got to do a dream job. I've done a few in the past, but this year for Asheville, one of our biggest events that we have every year, a Christmas jam that's put on by Warren Haynes for Habitat for Humanity, I got their full VIP gift mugs and tumblers, and then I also got to do all the artists for the Habitat for Humanity baskets this year. So it was about 700 pieces, which I was really, really excited to do. It kind of was the culmination of my career, so that was a huge highlight for me.
And you're such, again, personally in your own life, you love music, and professionally, you've really wrapped your business around that. So what was it like not only to get this, but this is what, did they stop it for 1 or 2 years? I forget, Ashley.
I actually think it was 3.
Oh my gosh, yeah.
Okay. I think it was 3.
Pandemic and all the things. Yeah, so it's been a minute since this really pivotal event has been here. So what does that even mean for you and other people in our local economy?
Well, I know personally for me, it was to have Christmas Jam back because it is at my favorite time of year in Asheville because it's a culmination of a lot of really great music. But to get that contract for me after a lot of growth during COVID and making it out of COVID, because unfortunately a lot of small businesses did not make it out of COVID, or they had to shift their whole business plan or their business model. It was really a highlight for me because of my career, because I got to be back doing Christmas Jam, but also all the artists, some of my favorite artists got it. And then also a lot of the VIPs that withstood COVID, you know, it's not a cheap ticket to get those VIP tickets. And they still wanted them, and they still went after them, and they sold out faster this year than any other year. So it was a big deal to get that contract to be able to support the music and to also support the people that come back every year for Christmas Jam. And then also for the Asheville community, I mean, just to have it back downtown for all the restaurants, to have it back for all the other artists that in some facet worked for Christmas Jam, whether it be backstage or posters. I mean, it was just a blessing to have it back for everybody. And it made my heart pretty full.
I love it. I can feel the heartfulness. And I just really want to iterate for people. We talk a lot about being a tourist-driven town in Asheville. And we've had waves and iterations, right? We've had the beer era and things of that nature. Outdoors always been popular. But another undertone that has always consistently brought people here has been the creative scene. And that is necessary to support, right? We have so many issues we talk about with affordable housing and being a part of the gig economy and having to take how many other jobs to afford. So I am really glad that you're able to bring this to the table and highlight. And just honestly, what an honor, because I've watched you personally in your career for, again, the last 8-10 years here in Asheville, like showing up, being at vending events, talking to people, building your business, growing your reputation, doing things really well, which gets you to that level that you can have a dream job, right? Take a dream contract. How amazing is that?
It really is so amazing. I just got goosebumps when you said that, because I feel those things all the time, but just hearing you say that back, it means even more, because it really is. It's Asheville has changed so much over the years, but to have such a large event like that to support an artist that has been, you know, working really hard in this community, it was pretty rewarding. And it's good to have events like that that still want to do that, because Asheville has changed a lot drastically in the last few years, especially through COVID.
Yeah. Yeah. And just being able to acknowledge that during the hard times, if you actually can find a way to keep going, that you can come out stronger. And again, people didn't survive, and that maybe needed to happen too for their business, for their personal life, whatever. But watching you consistently double down, you saying, okay, how do we keep mugs in people's hands? Because you did a lot of vending work the first several years of your career too. So I just really honor everybody who's been working their little butts off to try and keep surviving. And I really think you deserve a big pat on the back right now.
No, thank you. And so do you, man. You've kept so much alive as well. So, you know, it takes a village and it takes a community of us that have been doing it for a long time to understand the importance of it too, you know?
And being willing to fail and pivot and change throughout the whole way, right? Because when we first met, it was with my last business, Expand. Mm-hmm. I've even had different businesses since then. So
yep, change is the only constant. Yeah.
Period. Let's say that again. Change is the only constant. So speaking of, though, I do want to talk about something that has at least been going on for 7 years, and it's something that you do, and it's the Holiday Bazaar. Let's talk about that for people who don't know what it is and what that felt like this year for you.
Yeah, so I put on an event every year at the Asheville Music Hall and the One Stop. I started it 7 years ago. It started downstairs just in the One Stop with about 10 vendors, but it has grown to upstairs and downstairs. And this year, I believe we had 30 all local artists of all different mediums. We have 2 all local bands play. It's free, family friendly, with a kids area. And then also they have like a Bloody Mary bar, a mimosa bar. But the really amazing thing about it is that it really does highlight all local artists and craftsmen and women that have been doing this in Asheville for a long time, and the ones that, you know, are the movers and shakers, and they work their butt off, you know, every weekend to give Asheville their work. And it's kind of just like a big vendor party as well. We all get to celebrate together and see each other, and it's, you know, towards the end of the vending season, so it's just a last hurrah and a celebration for all of us too. But we're lucky that the Music Hall has let us do it for 7 years, and we're actually going to start a summer one, I believe, this year for the first time ever.
Oh, that's amazing. You heard it here first, folks. Well, I don't know if that's true, but in my mind, it is.
I don't think we've put it out there yet. So you are the first.
Awesome. Well, it piggybacks on a conversation that I thought we could dive in a little. You mentioned the fact that the Holiday Bazaar becomes sort of the people who have shown up, have been at the events, who are pouring their heart and soul into creating and providing art and beautiful wares for people. I want to talk about, what does that look like, right? You have some people who are brand new, who have never, even before COVID, were doing vending at festivals, craft fairs, things like that. Some people who are just trying to get back into it. Like, let's break down the conversation. What would you say early January 2023, people who have wares, who want to be at events, what should they be doing right now?
Well, the first thing I would say to them is look at your clientele, what your best space for vending would be. Do you think that your wares would work better in a small pop-up type shop, or do you think they'd work better in large art festivals that are curated? That would be my first suggestion. And then if you did want to go the curated art show route, you would need professional pictures of your work and then also of your vending setup space. And usually those spaces are always 10 by 10 easy up spaces if they're outside. And those are a little more high-end, so you have to just look at your clientele, and then also if you consider your wares to be more craft or more fine art. That would be my first suggestion.
Those are really, really valuable suggestions. Do you have any tips on how to identify whether you would resonate more with craft or fine art, or whether you feel like you might be fitted better for a small pop-up or large festival? I mean, again, you've been someone who's helped not only be a vendor at so many events, but you've also helped curate vendors. So I just think you have such a great two-sided perspective to share with our audience here.
Yeah, a lot of times I would say look at the price point of your wares, like where those lay, and also the time and effort that it takes to put into your work. A lot of the fine art shows are more people that they're more decorative pieces, you know, bigger, larger, whether they be large paintings, large sculptures. It just depends on the item. And if you have like small jewelry items, you might be better at a pop-up shop, if that makes sense. But if you have sterling silver jewelry and gold jewelry, things like that, that might be better for a fine art sense.
I love those two tips, right? Really looking at the price that you're charging for your wares and how much time it takes for you to put into. And then I also heard you mention sort of judging the materials, right? If materials are really costly, you need to at least at minimum recoup costs. You may naturally just bump into fine art depending on what materials you like to use, right?
Definitely.
I love that. Okay, so if people have really thought this through and they're sort of knowing their price point and they've kind of got an idea, then what? How do you find festivals? How do you find craft fairs? How do you get in that process? What do you do personally?
So personally for me, because I am in a very unique niche, which tends to be music related, or like for my lacto fermentation crocks and egg trays, things like that. Those work really well for sustainable food festivals, mm-hmm. or like Mother Earth News Fair, which focuses on all like homesteading type wares. So for me, I look towards events like that, and I Google for different events, or if there's magazines like for Mother Earth News, I found them through a homesteading magazine. So I also ask other vending friends that I know, like what works for them and if they think my wares would be good for those events, because people that have attended before also know the traffic that comes into those events, and then also average sales. So I really like to look at that, but also there's different websites online you can look at, artfairs.com. I think there's, I'm blanking on the second one that I used to look at.
Well, if you think about it, remind me, we'll put it in the show notes, or we'll put it on the social media channels.
Yeah. And you can Google just art fair reviews as well. And there's different things you can look up. But if you're looking specifically to Asheville, I always tend to, there's a page called Wax, West Asheville Exchange, and when people are putting up little pop-up shops, they usually add them on there, mm-hmm. and they ask for vendors. So if you're first starting out, it might be good to start at those small pop-up shops.
Yeah, super local.
Yeah, so they can get a taste of what it is, and you can kind of see what other people are doing. And past that, I would just go, if you're first starting out, to just go to all the pop-up shops and all the events that you can go to, so you can see how other people set up or how similar artists are set up, so that you can kind of work, you know, get ideas and work yours towards looking professional and put together and knowing what you need in the terms of bags or wrapping, you know, just different stuff like that.
I love that. You know, in my business course and when we do a lot of coaching, we have this one bucket of business that we always call development. And this is a lot of what you're talking about, right? If you don't know where to start, like just do some R&D, go research, right? Get on Google. I mean, Google will teach you almost anything you need to know. May not always be the perfect right answer, but it's going to be somewhere to start. And I also recommend kind of what Ashley was saying, collect data from all these unique places online, offline, look at the local events calendars, all of that, but then also start to create a calendar for yourself. So whether that goes into a spreadsheet or in a note section on your phone or even on a whiteboard or whatever, start to capture that information, because over time you don't want to have to constantly remember, wait, was Playthink, you know, this month or that month, or do I like this event or not? You know, start to collect that data for yourself and be aware, because the other thing is there may be an event 6-8 months from now, but the submission dates tend to be months in advance, right?
Yeah. Most of the applications that I'm going to start filling out need to be done by like mid next month. So, they're much larger events. And a few of mine are music festivals. So for me, it's a little bit different. But for some of the larger local Asheville ones, they won't be due till about April.
That's true. And again, really understanding your niche. If you're going for local, as Ashley mentioned, I love that you brought up Wax. Shout out to them. That's so great.
Yes.
But yeah, get connected to your local community. You know, one of the things that so many of my artists and creatives do is they'll come to me and say, I've created this business, I've created this website, I'm putting a post up maybe once or twice a week and nothing's happening. And one of the first things we really talk about is like, where's the low-hanging fruit? And I'm sorry, but like content marketing, putting things online right now is not low-hanging fruit. It takes time and energy and money sometimes, or at least a lot of thought to really curate good online presence. But what you can do is you can show up to your local event and you can shake someone's hand and you can hand them a business card or scan a QR code or something that directly helps people learn about your business. And it's one of the things I've seen you do best. So any tips on how to like get yourself out there, maybe for those people who are like more introverted too? Like if you're wanting to just sit in your pretty little box behind your computer, but you're like not sure how to get out, what's your tip there, Ashley?
I mean, so for if you're more introverted, I have a lot of people reach out to me on Instagram through word of mouth, and I'm happy to answer questions on Instagram messaging. But also, and I know it's a little bit more time consuming for people to go out to events and, you know, find that person and reach out. But if you do follow somebody on Instagram and you just want to go say hi to them in person, a lot of times the people are willing to go out of their way to give you tips and shake your hand, and you're able to ask more questions and more, you know, get more information. It's more personal than answering on a message. And I think people's intent comes off clearer, if that makes sense.
No, it makes total sense. Because again, those introverts, those people like us, like when I go out to a big craft fair, like I may want to talk to many of the artists, but I see them working with other people or feeling overwhelmed. If I'd been following them for a while or liked some of their posts or commented and had a little bit of engagement, I'd feel more comfortable. So I love that tip. Being able to use digital and offline marketing is actually really so powerful nowadays.
Yeah. And if you're local, reach out to somebody and maybe ask them to go out for a cup of coffee, you know, and talk about it over coffee. You know, that might be a little bit more accessible for some people, you know, rather than if in person does mean something. Because if you do go to an event, those events can be overwhelming for both customer and seller. You know, that might be not a, unless it's a smaller pop-up shop, it might be too overwhelming for both. And you might not actually get to have a long conversation as you would if it was, you know, over a cup of coffee.
Yeah. What great tips. I mean, I really love how you've always been so open to sharing your experience as an entrepreneur, because that's how we learn. That's how we help other people get there. So I'm kind of curious, because you talked about the fact that the Christmas Jam, you ran 700 mugs. Like, to me, I think when some startup artists or even artists who've been working in production for a minute, that might just feel like an astronomical amount. And I'm sure you may have even done larger runs at some point. How did you get to a point you could really start creating in bulk? Like, what did that journey look like for you?
Well, good question. Trial and error, but
fair.
Honestly, for me, it was also in growing my business in my studio. So I always have done production in some sort. That was for sure my biggest order ever in that amount of time.
Love it.
So I think I had a little over a month and a half to finish them all, and I had a wedding during all of that time. So it was like, oh wow, how do I get this done? But you just push, and you know, it felt really good to test myself, to see how many I could get done. And I also had my husband in the studio helping me. So I learned a lot from that as well, because it was my biggest order, but it helped having the most kilns. I have three large kilns working in my studio, and multiple wheels. So it was a growth for me as well. And I've done large orders in the past, but that was the biggest from, you know,
And
it's
like when I,
fine tuning your practice and getting to that point where you can do it. It's just growth
yeah.
on every end for me, I guess.
And I love that. And I've been learning a lot and taking a lot of digital classes recently. And one of the guys who coaches Oprah and works with some of the biggest names in the world, one of the things he says is, don't be afraid to be seen starting small. And that's what I have seen you do. You showed up even when you were just doing one mug. I mean, you ran. I still use my Keep Asheville Beard mugs, and it was maybe a run of like 20 or so. You know what I mean? It is such a different size, and you keep the same response, and you care so much about that work no matter what the size is for you. And so, yeah, I want to also mention to people that you can bite off a little more than you think you can chew and test that out and grow from that. So, Ashley, it's been such an honor to have you. And I really think this is a super valuable episode for those people trying to either break into the craft fair markets or get into festivals or who are trying to get jazz back up after COVID. So, how can people find you and connect with you and learn more or ask you out for a cup of coffee?
Yeah, thank you. My business name is Honey Creek Pottery, and you can look that up on Instagram, Honey Creek Ceramics on Facebook, and my website is honeycreekpottery.weebly.com. And feel free to, reach out, and I will try to help people in whatever way I can. And I also appreciate you for having me on, and always being such a support for Asheville and a supporter of me. And I appreciate and I love you. Thank you for that.
Oh, love you too, girl. And as always, this is Art Heroes with JPH, where we share tips and tools of our community's most innovative entrepreneurs, artists, and creative business owners. Thank you so much for tuning in, and please connect by visiting bizradio.us or arthero.biz. We'd love to hear your show suggestions or any questions you may have. And as always, stay creative.
Thank you for listening. If you liked what you just heard, be sure to subscribe to the podcast and be sure to visit bizradio.us to find hundreds of other engaging conversations, local events, and more.